heart and in my voice all day, so I keep singing through that song. But that's a great thing to do when you have burdens, is take it to the Lord and leave it there. And I'm thankful that we have a God that we can cast our burdens upon, and He can lift us up, that He has wisdom and strength and help for every need that we have, and that we have such a wonderful God. Amen? Amen. Proverbs chapter 3, would you take your Bibles and turn there tonight, please? We'll let you stay seated for this part here, but Proverbs chapter 3 and verse number 9 and 10. Thank you for being in church. I meant to mention one thing was about continue to pray for Vacation Bible School, so that'd be something to put on the prayer list for these next couple weeks, with much work happening there and people being invited. So keep in prayer for Vacation Bible School coming up here in just under 2 weeks now, so it's coming quick. Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 9 and 10, the Bible says, "Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine." Looking at what the Bible says about a number of subjects, and tonight I want to look at what the Lord says in regards to our finances, but kind of specifically targeting that towards the subject of a problem that I think a lot of people have tonight. No, not meaning that really, but in regards to gambling, betting, right? And the Bible says, "Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase." I know you thought we were probably going about tithing tonight. We could get there if you want to, though. There's no amens there, so we'll keep going with that. And honor the Lord with thy substance. What God has given to us, to honor the Lord with everything, with my life, with my speech, my thoughts, my possessions, and everything that God has given to me. The Lord has much to say about our money, about our finances, about how we handle what God has given to us, that we would be good stewards of the life that God has given us, good steward of the family that God has given to us, of the possessions of our children, everything that God has given to me, I'm a steward of that, that it is the Lord's. Amen? Everything that I have is the Lord's, and how I use it does matter. So I want to look at this subject tonight. Why don't we pray? Thank you, Lord, for the night. Please bless this subject tonight, Lord. And I pray there be a help. And there's, I believe, great application from the Word of God on just how to make sure we are using what you have given to us properly, respectfully, and that we would honor you. I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Tonight, as we look at this subject, and I believe there's much application to take from it, please don't turn me off at the beginning and say, "I don't have a problem, so I don't have to worry about that." I want to give some practical truths that I believe will help us. But many people today, in regards to finances, in regards to money and how we use it, is such a problem today. We live in such a materialistic society, and where many times people think the more money that you have, the more possessions that you have, the better person that you are, the more of a success that you are, and that if you have money, then that wipes out all the bad that you've done to get it. And we know that that's not right, of course. In regards to gambling, betting, it's a wagering of something of value, the stakes, on a random event with the intent of winning something else of value, where instances of strategy are discounted. And I don't know how much that last part comes into play exactly, but wagering something. Gambling or betting is a booming industry in the United States. Let me read you some statistics to realize this is a huge, huge problem today. And the problems of the world end up becoming the problems in the church as well and in our lives if we're not careful in watching. Casinos bring in about $50 billion a year. That's just a start, by the way. That's just a start here. Indian casinos, another $40 billion on top of that through gambling. Online gaming, another $8.5 billion. Not just million, although that's a large amount, billions. Sports gambling, $150 billion industry. And industries that are growing by leaps and bounds. If I were to do a quick total of that, we're at about $250 billion of this industry of all the betting, gambling. The gambling market's expected to reach, by 2030, is expected to reach $1 trillion. What a problem that is in society today, that people are just throwing their money away. That's really what it is. It's a get-rich-quick scheme that makes you poor, right? Get rich quick to lose your money. I'll be honest. I've done some scratchers in my day. I've been given them. There's been a couple of times like it's some family that's lost, and their gift is giving away lottery tickets, and I was like, I probably should scratch it. I don't know. I mean, I didn't put any money into it. Would it be gambling if I won it? I don't even know if we won anything, but we're given a few. It's like, I wonder if we won anything. Oh, okay, great. And you throw it away. So I've not actually gambled at all. I don't want to confess my sins here. Around 5 to 6, 5 out of 6 Americans say they've gambled at some point in their life. People that have a gambling disorder, addiction, say that they find it virtually impossible to stop. It's an addiction. Someone spends their paycheck to buy a piece of paper to, they don't have enough money, so they take the little bit of money that they do have and put into something that might make them a lot of money, but then they go home with less money than they started with. I'm not a math genius, but if you think about that, I don't have enough, so I'm going to give away some of that to hopefully win a lot later on as well. That does not seem very wise at all. Gambling at its core is a get-rich-quick scheme where you don't have to do anything to work for your wealth and your riches. And many times it's a gateway to many other dangerous sins as well. And I believe that gambling is a sin. We can look at that from the Bible, but it grows into something bigger and bigger as well. Some people would say this. Some people would say, well, the Bible doesn't say thou shalt not gamble. Okay. No, it does not, okay? But there are many principles that very clearly can be applied to this. The Bible doesn't say thou shalt not do a lot of things, but the principles are there if we look at it. Don't look for the out in the Bible. Don't look for the way that I can get away with that. How about, you know, how could I be more safe, closer to Christ? How could I stay further away from sin and wickedness? And that really should be our desire. Some would say this, well, it's not hurting anyone. Well, I would say quite the opposite. That it does. Well, I'm not providing for my family if I'm giving my money away to others. And many times for those that are taking that money and it becomes an addiction that leads to other sins and it becomes a bigger problem. We were driving down the freeway. It's hard to not think about this with a subject. We were driving down the freeway, and it's been 15 years ago. Happened to be on Cinco de Mayo night. I don't know why. We were going down for graduation with my brother-in-laws. We're driving down I-5, and someone that was leaving the wonderful casino, I forget what it's called down there, about halfway down I-5 from us to Sacramento, and someone got on the freeway going north, and they were gambling and drinking, and they were drunk, and they crossed over the freeway at us. And all of a sudden I see lights facing us on the freeway. Not a good situation. They hit a guardrail right before they got to us. Spun across, hit our car, spun across the freeway. The passenger was killed. Thankfully, we were safe, pulled off to the side. Thank the Lord for that. Joel never woke up one bit. He slept through all of it. I think he was about 6 months old. Never even woke up. That's a man right there. You sleep through anything. But as I think about that, like, I cannot cross that part of the freeway without thinking about that moment where our lives were almost lost by someone gambling, drinking, and then allowed to leave and go on the freeway and end up taking someone's life. God protected us. But it's a problem in our country. It's a huge problem. People will say, well, it's not gambling if I win. Well, first of all, you don't win all the time, right? And if you've seen Las Vegas at all, those resorts, casinos, and high-rise buildings weren't built because people always win. I think the saying is the house always wins. Somebody told me that. It's not gambling if I win. Only a couple people got that, I guess. People say, well, I'm just having a good time. Well, a good time doesn't overshadow the decisions that I'm making and the principles from the Word of God. As I think of the principle in the Bible, I think of a scenario. I think of the prodigal son. And I think about that in his life where he got the inheritance from his father. And he said, give me the inheritance that I deserve, and went to the far country to waste his substance with riotous living. What exactly he did, it's a parable, but exactly what he did, we don't know. But wasted his substance. And so when his substance was gone, he had everything, right? He had all the friends, all the money, the car. He had everything he wanted that the world promised to him. The devil sells you with a billboard, with a commercial that he never comes through with, right? And he was left with nothing. No friends, no money, no job, eating with the pigs. And he said, well, if I just go home to my father. You know, so many times we look at what we could have, what we'd like to have, things that would maybe make us happy. And then when you go to get that from the world, it does not give you the return that you wanted. And you realize in the end, what I had was back home, right? The blessings from God was where I left, and that's where you go back. Thank the Lord for God's mercy and grace. But he went to go and gamble and gave away everything that he had. He said, well, I don't have a problem with this. I was thinking about this. I think all the men could agree with me, all right? Men are built with a competitive spirit, all right? If I make this shot, what are you going to give me, right? You could say you don't do that, men. If I make this shot, you're going to buy me a Gatorade after the round of golf, because I don't, that's what we drink after a game of golf, all right? But you say, well, it's not a big sin. Well, I wouldn't do it for a lot. Well, let's make sure that we're right in the little things, so we're right in the big things as well. And so let's look at what the Bible says, the subject about our finances, about honoring the Lord with our substance. Honoring the Lord with our substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. As we look at these first verses here, what does the Bible say about our finances in regards to gambling, betting, giving our money away to try to get something in return? Not an investment, but trying to the get rich quick. Understand this, everything that I have came from the Lord. If I remember that first of all, that with my possessions, with everything that I have comes from the Lord. If I have that principle right in my life, that everything that I have comes from the Lord, so in return, everything that I have should be used for the Lord. Everything that I have, I shouldn't have an area where I say, well, this one I get to use for me, not for God. No, it should honor the Lord in every area of my giving, of my finances, my family, everything that I have, I should honor the Lord. So everything that I do in my life should honor God. Everything I watch, everything I give my money to, everything I spend my time doing, everything should honor God. Thinking about this, would Jesus do that? If God was with me, would I do that? If it would not honor God if he was right here sitting next to you physically, well, God, as a Christian, is the Holy Spirit living in our heart. And so we should honor God no matter who is physically there or not, but honoring the Lord with our possessions, with our life. Next is this. I'll have you turn to a few different verses. But God blesses those that work. Amen? Turn over to Proverbs chapter 13 and verse number 11. God blesses those that work. God created Adam, put him in the garden, and told him to work. Keep the garden, to labor. Can you imagine how long it took for him to keep the garden by himself? Now, there was no weeds at the time, you know. That's a blessing. But he kept the garden, and then God had him name all the animals, how long that took. I don't know how long it took. But God made man to work, to labor. And in Proverbs 13:11 says, wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished, but he that gathereth by labor shall increase. The wealth gotten by vanity, trying to get something for nothing, the Bible says, shall be diminished. I didn't have to do anything to get it. But he that gathereth by labor shall increase. That God made us to labor, to work. If God has given you a body to work and to labor, thank the Lord for that. I hope we never look at work as a negative, but a positive. Whatever God has allowed me to do, to work and to labor for the Lord, that God blesses that. Proverbs 14:23, the Bible says here, in all labor there is profit, but the talk of the lips tendeth only to penury. In all labor there is profit, that when you labor and you work, that God blesses that labor. I won't have you turn there, but in 2 Thessalonians 3:10, it says, for even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. If someone's not willing to labor and work for what they're getting, I'm not talking about those that can't take care of themselves, right? But those that can work and they're able to work and don't, and ask for someone to care for them, the Bible says, then neither should he eat. You say, that's harsh. Well, that's Bible, right? That's Bible. I remember I was in Bible college and I had a high-end job working security. I was at Intel. I was security guard there for 4 years. And thank the Lord for that. But as I worked there, I remember there was a couple men one night. They came down to my lobby, and I worked at this lobby just for a short period of time. And they said, "Hey, I want to talk to you after work tonight about a job opportunity." And I was like, "I'm going to be working for Intel. Look at this, Bible college student." You know, I thought that was great. I think I called my mom. I was like, "I've got a job opportunity maybe." And I remember after work, and they sat down, and they gave me this beautiful pyramid scheme of, and I thought, I was like, "Oh, man." I was like, "I'm going back to security." I thought I was going to get rich quick. Nope, didn't work that way. You realize that God blesses labor and work. Amen? Turn over to 1 Corinthians 6 and verse number 12. I'll have you turn to a number of passages if you would take a moment to turn there. 1 Corinthians 6, 12. First of all, we should honor the Lord with our possessions, with our substance, but then know that God blesses those that work. And then number 3, let's look in 1 Corinthians 6, 12. And the Bible says here, All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. The challenge for this is avoid being brought under the power of anything as an addiction. We have addictive personalities where there's things that I like to do, and when my flesh likes it, I want more of it. For some things, it may not be something that's bad, but I should not be brought under the power of anything that takes the place of God. And in regards to this, in regards to our finances, avoid being brought into the power of anything, because sin in our life is addictive. It's a choice, but many times it's something that's small and it grows to something that's big. Let's bring this down home, that we have these things that we hold in our phones as telephones, and online gaming is becoming such a big industry. You know, if I just put a few more dollars into this game and I could win this and people have won this amount of money, I'm not wasting my money on a game. I'm not wasting my money and my time on a game. I should not be brought under the power of any. Nothing should have power over my life but God. Right? That should be my desire with anything, but in regards to our finances, to where if I just keep giving in this, can you say no to that area in your life? Can you? Can you turn it off? Can you say no and give that time to the Lord? If not, that's become an addiction in your life. That's taken the place of God. Avoid being brought into the power of anything in your life, and especially here in regards to your finances. Turn to 1 Timothy, please, in chapter 6. And these are this is a very powerful passage in regards to our finances. And this is something very important for us to apply to our lives. In 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse number 6. 1 Timothy 6 and verse number 6, it says this, "But godliness with contentment is what? It's great gain. My happiness should never be dependent on the amount of money that I have in the bank." Right? The possessions that I have in the driveway. God blesses His children, but God's blessings are not accounted by the amount of dollars that I have. Godliness with contentment is great gain. That's true riches, right? True riches are found in God. True riches are found with God, not in the paycheck. Now, I'm thankful for the paycheck, all right? We need that to survive, but that should not be the desire of my heart and my life. This says, "But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world." And look at this. "And it is certain that we can carry," what's the next word? "Nothing out." I think about people that have millions and billions. And I think, what do you do with your money? What are you going to do with it? Who are you going to donate? You know, give to something important. Give to the work of God, but give it to something or someone. You're going to let it rot in a bank account for the government to come and take someday? True riches are found in God. We're going to carry nothing out anyway. And the Bible says in verse 8, "And having food and raiment, let us therewith be content," talking about contentment again. But look at verse number 9. And this is where it really hits home with the subject about our finances. But they that will be rich. Those that are seeking for riches will fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts which drown men in perdition and destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of, what's the next two words? All evil. Not some. God didn't make a mistake that the love of money is the root, the Bible says, of all evil, which while some have coveted after, seeking after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows, the Bible says. True riches are found in God, but poverty and emptiness is found in the world. If you're seeking for contentment and riches and happiness from the world, from the things that you get, well, there's emptiness there. There's emptiness. Because again, that billboard that Satan puts out, if you have this, it will make you happy. But the Bible says that love of money is the root of all evil, which those that have coveted after, they've erred from the faith. They've pierced themselves through with many sorrows. The Bible says that they've fallen into temptation, a snare, many foolish and hurtful lusts. They've drowned, the Bible says, in destruction and perdition. So the things that we covet after, that we seek and think, that'll make me happy, God is telling you, it won't make you happy. It won't. And it will bring you the opposite of that. It'll bring you misery and destruction in your life. And that's the love of money. Not having money and possessions. Caring for those that you have and God blessing your home. Not against having the things of life. I'm not against that. But the love of money. The desire of just seeking after things to find happiness in my life. Godliness with contentment, the Bible says, is great gain. We're carrying nothing out of this world anyway. We'll get to a point here in a minute that I almost got ahead of myself. But the love of money is the root of all evil, and the love of money is a trap. Because you can never attain it. You can never catch it. You'll never reach it. If your desire is riches, it'll never satisfy your soul. Because God did not make us to be satisfied with possessions. We will only be satisfied with Christ. That's why, again, the Bible says godliness, being close to Christ, being close to God, godliness with contentment is great gain, the Bible says, having contentment. Look down in verse number 17. The Bible says here, verse number 17, it says, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. It says they that do good, and it says that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. The Bible says to charge them that are rich in this world, not that it's wrong, but that they be not high-minded, that you don't trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. The challenge here from this passage is this. Don't put your trust in riches. Put your trust in God. But the challenge is this also. Be more concerned with giving than getting. Be more concerned with giving than getting. Not about all that I can get for myself, but how can I take what God has given to me and give to others? How can I give back to the work of God? How can I use what God has given to me to further the work of Christ? It says that they be willing, those that are rich in good works, it says in verse 18, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, ready to pass on what God has given to us. Be more concerned with giving than getting. See, the idea of loving riches is about all that I can get. But if I have the right spirit, it's everything that I've been given is how I can give to others. Be more concerned with giving than getting. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, I'll read it. It says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. God says to lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. We all we're all sinners, and we all struggle with having that sin nature that we will battle till the day that God takes us home. But may there not be even a little thing that is a sin that we hold on to that keeps us from running forward for God. We'll turn to one more verse. If you turn to Hebrews 13, two more verses, I lied, I'm sorry. Hebrews 13 and verse number 5. We touched on this subject already, but we'll look at it one more time. In Hebrews 13, verse 5, it says, "Let your conversation be without covetousness." Man, we live in a very coveting, greedy society. Coveting, just I want, I need all the things that I need to get, right? I've not bought anything, so I can say it, but it's Amazon Prime days right now. The pressure of I need to buy something because there's something on sale and I've got to get it. I really don't. I don't because my wife buys whatever we need for the house. It just shows up at the house someday. And what I needed just happens to be there. Thank you. But it says to be without covetousness and be content with such things as ye what? As ye have. Not the things that you want, the things you're going to get. Be content with things that you have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Being content with Christ, not with things. So the challenge here is to trade covetousness for contentment. Trade covetousness for contentment. Say, if I only had, instead of that, content with the things that you have. Trade covetousness for contentment. Lastly, turn to 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse number 22. 1 Thessalonians 5. And verse 22, this is the last scripture I'll have you turn to. First Thessalonians 5:22. Maybe you knew we were going there eventually, and we got there because you were hoping so. 1 Thessalonians 5:22 says, abstain from all appearance of evil. If it's not a godly practice that I should have in my life, I shouldn't go there, right? I shouldn't go to the bar to get a good steak, right? You say, that probably wouldn't be a good look. If you saw me walking out with a good, you'd probably think, that does not look good, right? The pastor's walking out of, but it's just a steak. But where am I coming out of? A bar. Well, I'm not doing that, first of all, but I should stay away from the appearance of evil. You say, I'm not going to gamble. I'm just going to get a good meal. All right, I'm probably gonna hit some step on some toes here, but that's okay. But it's an appearance of evil, isn't it? It's an appearance of evil. If it's not a godly place to go to and godly practice happening there, well, I shouldn't be part of that. That's an appearance of evil. Amen. Our testimony matters, right? My testimony matters. Our testimony, church, it matters what I'm doing, where I'm going. You say, well, I'm not here to think about what, you know, to matter what people think about me. Well, it does matter. I'm supposed to be salt and light to this world. I'm a picture of Jesus Christ. We're supposed to be, and we should have an appearance of righteousness, not appearance of evil. Why should we not go into a place where there's gambling? Flew through the Las Vegas airport the first time I had been through there. And there's, you can gamble all through there. And so I didn't try any. But I couldn't avoid going through the airport. I wasn't going there for that purpose. It just happened to be where I was, actually visiting a family member that was there. But our testimony matters. I'm not going there. But also, our flesh is weak. Why would I want to put myself in a vulnerable position? Why would I want to put myself around people that are not having righteous and holy actions? Why would I want to go there? Why would I want to be a part of that kind of lifestyle? In conclusion, tonight, desire to honor the Lord with every area of your life. In this area, with your finances. Desire to honor the Lord with every area of your life. You say, well, you know, I don't gamble, but I just play little games, and it's just a little bit of money. Well, why would I? Big sins start small, right? And if the big sin matters, then wouldn't the little one matter too? right? And so make sure, the Bible says a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. So a little bit does matter. So I want to honor the Lord with my substance, with my life, with my thoughts, with my words, with my appearance, with everything. With everything, I should want to honor the Lord with my life. Honor the Lord with thy substance, with the first fruits of thine increase. So say, God, it's yours. I'm a steward of your money. Would God spend his money there? Would God go there? Would Jesus Christ have been there? If the answer is not yes, well, I shouldn't do it either. Amen? Let's honor the Lord with what God has given to you, that we would set ourselves up to try to be more like Christ, to be holy and not trying to find a way where I can just kind of get away with as much as I can get away with. Let's have a desire to honor Christ with our lives, with our money, with our finances. Let's pray. Lord, I pray you bless tonight. I pray you help us to have a Christ.